Oh me, oh my. Look at that fish.
What is up? Welcome to the Smalley Talk Podcast. This is your host, Josh Rinko, come from Achigan headquarters because I could not make base fast enough to get back home and get in Studio A. So we're at Studio B here at my desk where the magic, boring magic happens. Do all my paperwork. And we've got a special episode here. I got a call this morning while I was taking my daughter to school. And you know, when you have connections, I guess you just get calls like this. I don't know what else to say, but my boy Drew won a huge tournament and he was like, hey, dude, I would love to come on Smalley Talk and talk about my tournament because I caught a bunch of Smalleys in a very cool place. So, yeah, dude, what a better place to talk about it than here. So,
yeah, man. Yeah.
What's up, man? Congrats, champ.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Appreciate it. Yeah, definitely. You guys were on my mind out there, you know, rocking all the Achigan stuff and catching smallies, and it was just clear water. It was tons of fun. And yeah, I figured what a better, you know, show to come on than Smalley Talk, talk about smallies and river smallies at that. So yeah.
Dude, I was getting some messages from guys that were fishing that event and they were kind of hinting towards like, oh, smallmouth might win this, you know, like, so I've never caught a desert smallmouth. It's a goal of mine. It's a bucket list goal. So how did it feel to catch smallmouth in the freaking desert, dude?
Yeah, you know what's funny is I've actually been out there before, but not that lake. I've been on the Colorado River system in Yuma, Arizona. Took a trip out there with Brooks Beatty when I was with Jackson to do like a West Coast swing, you know, did some calico bass fishing. I did a few trips out there, but only one time did we go back east and fish like inland like that. And it was around Yuma, Arizona. But I actually don't remember catching a smallie on that trip. This was like 8 years ago, probably. I don't
know. Definitely caught some on the Devil's River. I would say that there.
That's true. That counts. Desert. Yeah.
That's pretty desert.
Pretty desert. Yeah. Desert smallmouth. Yeah. So, yeah, not this far west desert. But yeah, so I at least had some experience with that body of water and some, I mean, it's down probably like an hour and a half, 2 hours south, I guess, from Havasu, something like that. Maybe just something like that. But, so I was kind of blind, but not completely. At least I knew a little bit about the river and the water. So it was wild,
man. River and smallmouth, dude. I mean, you can't overcomplicate stuff like that, right?
No, that's right. Bass, I told the guys in our group chat, Shane Lamont and you know, Southern California guy, Shane, you guys may know him, Bass Thumbs Fishing. He got us a house together with a bunch of folks from SoCal. Jake Cook, my buddy from Northeast Ohio, who flew out here. Or flew out there with me. We all stayed there and we were all texting back in our group text. And I did just tell the guys once it was all over and they were obviously congratulating me and they were pumped for me after day one. I was in second place. They were excited, you know, to see if I could pull it off. And, you know, I was obviously spinning out, very nervous about my fish and the whole situation. But on the group chat a little while ago, earlier today, I was like, look, a bass is a bass is a bass. And if you guys come east or whatever, they all still act very similar. You just gotta, the water just looks different. You gotta realize they're still going to do a lot of the same things. You can't get too thrown off by how different the topography and the, you know, the area is compared to what your, like your home water is. So yeah, I mean, I've been to the Amazon River. I fished the Amazon and the bass there sit and stage the same way. Like the, you know, a lot of the, I'd say the fish, a lot of the like predator fish, you know, that we target, like a bass is, they ambush, they sit, they stage the exact same way as up here. It's not like, so don't get thrown off. But anyway, good to see some folks in the chat here. And this is kind of the first, man, this is our first show to kind of talk about the story other than what I shared on stage. So I'm excited to get my feet wet with you here first, and I got a lot lined up for the rest of the week. So it's it'll be rough and raw, but we'll have fun with it.
Yeah, I think a lot of me just kind of like following that tournament from afar. The general sort of consensus was a lot of people were like, damn, this is a tough bite. That's what I kept hearing. And then I think I saw a video of you after day one, and you'd said that there was only a handful of guys that caught limit. So is that true? Is it pretty tough?
Very tough. I think five or six caught limits both days. Only five or six had 10 fish. That's how tough it was. Cause you got to think about it, man. We're like, you know, everyone knows cold water's tough, right? We all know that, but you combine cold with clear and it's like even like much harder, right? Because they can see everything so well. So we have cold and clear, like 50 to 53 degree water. Most of the guys in the lake were usually reading a little bit less than I was getting in the river. It was a little bit warmer in the river. And, I can explain that too. There's a, and I knew this, my pre-tournament sort of research, there is a dam upstream, 20 or 30 miles upstream, probably from where I was. It's the Lake Mojave Dam, and it's a tail race. You know, they stock trout there right below it. Mm-hmm. And tail races work. It's no different out there than it is here. The water coming out is going to be really cold. It stays cold year round, and trout can live there year round.
Yep.
But a weird, funny thing happens. At a certain point, if it gets cold enough in the winter on the main lake now becomes colder than the river, and the river's artificially warmed up as it's coming out of that dam a little bit warmer. So even though at 25-30 miles to get affected by the cold desert nights and the environment, just because it came out of that dam a little bit warmer, allowed the river water to be a teeny bit warmer, like a degree and a half or 2 degrees warmer than most all the lake, which doesn't sound like a lot, but every little bit matters when you're talking about a cold-blooded creature like that.
And so we have the same thing in our wastewater treatment outflows. So it's colder in the, you know, summertime, but in the wintertime it's, you know, I think the one that we see usually comes at like 60 degrees. So like 60 degrees is cold in the summer, but in the winter that's like supercharged water. That's pretty funny.
So true. Yeah, Mike Fink, what's up, man? That's right. Ohio's got a lot of champs. So I'll claim it. I'm not from Ohio, but hey, sure, I'll take it, man. I represent Ohio now. Ohio State? I'm a Bulldog fan, but I guess I got to like represent.
I was like, don't start doing that OH crap on here.
No, I'm not that. I'm not that, but everyone around me loves them. So I guess I'm happy when they win, people are in a little bit better mood. So it's a win for me.
Yeah.
When Ohio State wins.
Yeah. So they spanked my Notre Dame last night. That's for sure. So
Fantine, dude, funny comments from Fantine as always. I could get into that. He's talking about Ryan Vantine said, hey, Drew flew across the country with a fanny pack and an Aquaphone charger and spanked. That's funny. But it was very tough, man. It was tough. And it could easily not be me sitting here. I mean, I caught my last fish with 20 minutes to go to get five. So it was, really a huge challenge. I lost two fish that would have been the winning fish before that fish, which is painful when you hook your first four fish, you know, the day and you got four by whatever it was, 11:30. And then you lose one at like around 12:30. And the tournament could have been won at that point. It was a 17. I would have had like a more than I had on day one. And Jake, my buddy Jake, was actually right near me when it happened. Cause he had finally come upstream and got to where I was. And he was just kind of cruising next to me. Right. We were talking and I was just casting. All of a sudden I was like, oh, I got one. And he actually had it part of it on his phone. He was filming it with his phone and then I lost it. And it was pretty heartbreaking. I have it on GoPro too. It was pretty heartbreaking, which I can pull it up and show some of this footage, but man, and I knew how tough the bite was going to be. So I didn't know if I was going to ever get another bite, and then it got one other bite and then lost it. And I was like, this is not my time. I might finish fifth or sixth or whatever, still with nine fish, but with 20 minutes to go, I caught one. So just fortunately did it. I was just so thankful to God at that moment. I was like, I can't believe this just happened, man. Cause I had a really weird, I'm telling you, it's so weird. I'm not usually like this, but I have had weird feelings before about tournaments. I had that feeling, man. Like, Josh, I'm telling you, I had an email come in from Spirit Airlines like 3 months ago, and it said $40 flights to all these different locations. And I was like, let me just click this link. They're suckering me in here, but let me just click it, because I got to go to Orlando for ICAST 3 years. I got to go, like, maybe fly my family into a kayak adventure series event where they may not be able to be there all week or something. So let me just click on this. And they said it was like Columbus, Ohio. And I was like, let's see where. Columbus is like 2.5 hours from me. It's not close, but I was like, let me just see where they're flying for $40. Maybe it's one of the locations I need to be this year. Cause I was never considering Havasu for Bassmaster. Wasn't even thinking about it. It was so far away. But then all of a sudden it said Las Vegas for $40 from Columbus. And I was like, Vegas, it's pretty close to Havasu. So I started and I looked at my calendar. I was like, maybe I could pull this off. You know, I got connections with, you know, different friends all over the country, or Crescent Kayak dealers, and called Amanda Brannon, you know, and she was out there in California, and she said Matthew and her, they could bring an extra kayak I could use and a Torquedo, since I'm on a Torquedo team and everything. So I was lining up kayaks, and I was going to look for a Crescent Scholey, because obviously I'd rather be in the kayak I designed. So I was going to like contact some dealers. I talked to our sales rep in Texas and see if we could pick up his extra and, you know, get someone to drive it out there, and kind of working on getting that lined up. And it looked like it was going to work. So then I went to the wife, you know, once I kind of had some of that stuff already like talked about, I was like, hey, what do you think?
That's
about
the hardest part. Yeah.
What do you think about this? And then she was like, well, did you look at our family calendar? Cause I was looking at my work calendar, and literally on that weekend, it was Pam, my mother-in-law, Pam, her like birthday weekend with the girls, aunt, oh. And my wife's aunt, you know, my mother-in-law, our sister-in-law, you know, whatever. And then Christina, like my wife, all of them, and maybe a few other girls, had this big trip planned. I'm supposed to be home watching the kids all weekend. I'm like, all right, that sucks. I've been out there before. I loved it out there, but just not meant to be. All of a sudden I'm on some live for Kayak Adventure Series one day. You guys go back and watch it. And she comes down the stairs here, and she's like, by the way, we can't make that weekend work. So I don't know if one of the girls couldn't do it, you know, so they had to scrap that weekend as their girls weekend. And she was like, so you might
win,
like,
baby.
You might be able to go on that trip. So then I looked and I said, well, forget Spirit. I don't want to drive 2.5 hours to Columbus. That creates a bunch of logistical like problems, you know? So I said, what about just Cleveland? Yeah, it's closer. And there was like $160, $170 round trip to Vegas out of Frontier Airlines, which is like nothing for going out west. So then I talked to her. She's like, yeah, that's cool. You know, go for it. Booked the flight. And then from that point, I started figuring out a way to get my kayak there. So now I'm working on figuring it out and, you know, call a bunch of different people. You know, told Steve, I was like, hey, Steve Owens, you know, the tournament director for Bassmaster, said, hey, thinking about coming out with this event, you know, I think I'm going to fly out and rent a kayak or whatever, you know? And he just said, man, I love it. That's awesome, Nick. That's so cool. You're doing that. And he told me Joe McElroy was driving out there. And I was like, really? And so I contacted Joe, you know, one of the other anglers. You remember he gave away like all of his money from that.
Yeah. Where does he live at?
In Alabama. So he was driving all the way out there from Alabama. So at that point, and the anglers who had registered, you didn't have a lot of people registered yet. You know, it's still early. So you don't really know who all's coming. You don't know about, I could have just looked down the leaderboard and seen other people that were driving out there, like the Chris Dolowskis were from Pennsylvania. They ended up signing up at the very last minute, but I'm sure they knew they were going and where I drove out there. So, but either way, I had to figure this out all early. So I knew Joe was going, and we do Christmas in Georgia for my family, since I'm from Georgia and they all live there still. So I put that Scholey on the top of our SUV, and all our Christmas presents, everything's in there for Christmas after, you know, after we had our Christmas here, we were going right after Christmas to Georgia with my family. And end up driving on the way down to Georgia. I had all my black pack, you know, all my gear, rods, reels, everything in there. And Torquedo motor, batteries. Heading down to Christmas with my family. And all of a sudden, my wife gets sick to the point where she's like, let's just stop now. It's like 6:30 p.m. Let's stop early. You've only driven like 4.5 hours from where we live here in Northeast Ohio. And we stopped at some Holiday Inn Express. And, dude, 3 days later, we're still there. She was so sick, she couldn't get out of bed. And so one of the days she was there, we were there, my kids were sick as well. But one of the days we were there, cause we knew we weren't going to make it to Georgia. So I said, you know, I still have to get all my stuff to Joe somehow, but I'm a long way from you know, I'm just south of Cincinnati, north of Lexington, I guess, closer to Lexington, a suburb called Georgetown. And I went, I talked to Joe, and he goes, well, I'm in my cabin in Kentucky also. And I'm in Kentucky, and he has a cabin there, apparently, like right around, it's still like 3 hours and 45 minutes away around like Paducah or somewhere like that direction at the tail race of, you know, Lake Barkley, which I guess the Cumberland River before it meets and joins into the Ohio. Anyway, it's not close to me, but it's a lot closer than driving all the way to Alabama, right? So I was like, hey, man, I grabbed my daughter, threw in the car seat, drove 3 hours and 45 minutes that day, dropped off all my stuff to him, chatted with him at his hunt house there, hunting camp or whatever, and you know, turned around and went back to the hotel to take care of the family. And he had all my stuff at that point. And then he drove it all out to Arizona. And
it's clutch.
You know, yeah, the rest is kind of history. I had all my own stuff, everything. And we, you know, like I said, my buddy Jake went out there, which was awesome, having a friend to be able to share the experience with. He's kind of a new friend. I met him like over the summer, this past summer, part of the Kayak Anglers of Northeast Ohio group of guys. And, you know, real good dude. And he just said, yeah, I'm in, dude. I'll go. I want to learn from you. I'll just ride along and we'll just have fun. He never fished a national event ever. This is his first. So I helped line him up a kayak to borrow from some people. Huge thanks to anyone, by the way, who we contacted a lot of people. So there were so many anglers that were so helpful to say, we can give you this or give you that, you know, and the Newport guys were there and they loaned him a motor and a battery. So Scott Stolman from Minnesota was driving down, loaned him a kayak. So I kind of helped line all that up for him. And, we stayed with those SoCal boys and, you know, when you fly in, we flew in so late, we didn't even get into Havasu City until like 3 a.m. after we, you know, get off the plane, get the rental truck and all that stuff. Right. We got a Dodge Ram truck, pickup truck. We get down there the next morning, even though we don't have much sleep, we just got to wake up early because the guys were borrowing stuff from, they have to like, you know, get on the water, they're practicing. Right. So we had to connect with all our gear so we could get on the water, hopefully that day. But by the time we got all the gear, we got scrambled around. We're just exhausted. We drove around, looked at different ramps, looked at different stretches of the river. I mean, never really even had a chance to get on the water. So we never got on the water. We made some casts from the bank and I caught a fish from the bank actually, but that was it. The next day, it's the only day of practice. We had one day to just get on the water. And I floated from the highest portion of that we could do on that river. A section called Needles. We floated down to the interstate, which is probably like 14 miles. And I just wanted to like look at it, just see the river. And there was another section below this interstate. If you've looked at this lake, you'll, and anyone out there will know what I'm talking about. There's a gorge called Topot Gorge, which is still river going into the lake, you know, from below that. And it's another 13-14 miles to the next access point we had. And it looks like magical. I mean, like you go through all these mountains, and it's just the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, Josh. Like you would be, your eyes on satellite imagery, if you were going to go fish this lake, you're going to get sucked in to, I've got to go there. All these cool backwaters with tules and just beautiful blue river and the mountains and just all the boulders and just habitat beyond like belief. But I intentionally was like, you know what? I think that's going to suck a lot of people in. And I'm sure there's good fish there. There were good fish there, but I only had one day. And that's like too much. And I was like, I'm going to go fish that upper section that's through the valley. It's like a valley that's flat desert. And there's like, no, it's like, dude, there's not even any like bends. It's like straight away for like 13 miles. It's like, I mean, it barely has any wiggle to it. It looks like the ugliest piece of river. It's just riprap. There's nothing to it. No features. There's a few like jetties sticking out from some campground, some rock kind of jetties and erosion protection things. But they weren't even on that, you know, they weren't even on it. That's what most people probably were looking at. You know, it's the most obvious stuff.
So that's what made you want to fish it, just because you felt like it wouldn't be as pressured.
Exactly. And if I could find fish there, I figured I would have them to myself for the most part. And it was true for the most part, but there were definitely other anglers in that section. And some of them got up to my fish and even were right on and even found them. I think they found them. One guy was right on there on my way back. And, he didn't have a limit. He said he wasn't doing good, but he was standing up with his motor guide and he could see him everywhere. He's like, I'm seeing fish. And I'm thinking, yeah, I know you are, bro. Like there's a school of 15 fish, 15 smallies right there that on that day of floating down in practice while Jake was driving around doing some other stuff, I floated the whole thing by myself. And I was on the phone with Jake and it all of a sudden I was like, oh my goodness. I just floated over a giant school of smallies. And
that's the worst feeling, dude. I hate that crap.
Yeah. Well, for me, it wasn't bad because it was crystal clear and I wasn't trying to fish for him that day. And I wasn't even.
Yeah. If you're not fish for him that day, it's fine. Yeah. But
and I wasn't really even casting at him. Or at the beginning of the float, he and I went and fished up to the bridge, which was our boundary. I did like see some largemouth and I saw some smallmouth and I needed to know if I saw them, could I catch them? So I threw in and caught I caught a couple small little dinks. And then I actually threw in and saw a decent size one. And I threw like a Z-band Gobius over there and was shaking it on the bottom in front of it. And I can see the whole thing. You know, he's like, it's crystal clear. It's like 10 feet deep, but it's still like where I was, but it's very clear. He could see me as well. But I threw in there and I bounced on the bottom and it bit and I caught it. It was 15 inch smallmouth. And I said, okay, so I can catch them even if I see them. It is possible.
Which is not always the case.
No, it's not.
I mean, when it's that clear, sometimes they just, they'll just turn away and they don't care.
And most of them at the tournament, that was the case most of the time. But at least I knew if I saw them and I floated down so I could just look and I would mark waypoints every time I would go right on one of the banks that I thought looked better, you know. So obviously you're going downstream, you can't see both banks, right? So I would go down one bank that looked better, I thought. But anyway, I would mark anytime I saw a fish or two. And it's just like, it is like the desert. There's like so many stretches. There's just nothing. All you see is carp and no smallies. Like it wasn't good. I was like, man, I don't know if I can fish this section. But then I got when I was on the phone with Jake, I saw that big school and I was like, maybe. You know what I mean? And it just turned out that where that school was, there was about a mile and a half of bank there that was shallow. It was on the west side, which is getting more sun, right? When it comes up. And it was
what
shallow.
What was the water temperature, by the way?
It was like 51 and a half. Ooh, 52.
That's pretty cold.
At 51 and a half, 52. It got up to like 53 and a half maybe. I just found this like, that's this mile and a half section of bank for whatever reason, they were just kind of like in this mile and a half section. Like, I know what reason it was, because it was shallower over there. And it's kind of funny because, you know, a river, the water's the same temp, but you know, pretty much at the deepest part and up top, there's no thermocline. So most people are thinking, oh, wintertime, I got to go deep. You know, that's why they're by those, they probably fish in those jetties, which because it makes the water swirl out after the little, you know, point, the little that makes the jetties make. The erosion control little things is a deep hole behind it always, right? Real deep. Like I saw holes as deep as like 30 feet in that river. Not many in that section, not many at all, but I saw some and there's nothing down there, just nothing. It's just, you know, if anything is some carp and stuff, but no smallies. But so they were actually, because water temp's the same in every water column, the fish were actually shallow because they could be anywhere they want. It doesn't matter. They're not getting warmer if they go deep, but they're going to get warmer actually if they go shallow. Because they're going to get more of the sun. So they're sunning themselves in this bank that's shallower. And it's got a current break with some little depressions and stuff that was kind of there. And this little kind of grassy stuff. And so there was a lot of like calm. And it was get calm because that bank is protected from the wind more than the other bank. So it's got, you know, obviously you got turbulence on the surface. It doesn't get as warm either. So it's got both those things going for it, shallow and calm. And they're just sunning themselves in the like kind of the sandier mud kind of banks and any of the rocks on that bank too, that the riprap kind of rocks that they use to protect the bank from erosion. So anyway, that whole bank was loaded. There's big largemouth on there too, like 6 pounders, five. There's only like a couple, but, and then you see some normal, you know, 2 and 3 pound largemouth every once in a while, but mostly it was smallies in the river. The largemouth wouldn't touch anything. So, that's kind of where I found them. And that, and then I just kind of marked where they were. And so on the first day, I'll pull up some video if you want. I mean,
yeah, I want to see the pictures I saw of it were pretty amazing looking.
Let me see if I can pull up. First day, I was on my way up motoring, and I couldn't get to the spot, you know, before line's in time. So I ended up fishing. I was just driving down this other riprap bank that I never checked in practice, and it kind of on the most quote-unquote bend that there would be. And let me see this. Let me find these videos here. Here it is. So day one, I can pull up and show you that fish. I think I've got most of this stuff kind of labeled. Here it is. Here's the first fish I caught. There it is. Okay, yeah. I've kind of trimmed some of this up for us here. I don't know if you can pull it in StreamYard there.
Yeah, you want me to pull it in?
I pulled it in if you can. I can't pull it in. So see, I just started working this bank because I was driving and I saw a smallmouth. down in the water. I was just watching, right? I'm looking where the rocks meet the sand. The rocks right there, and they were sitting right where the rocks meet the sand. So see, I just throw the gobias. Once you see a smallmouth, there's probably more in the area, right? So you guys
are you
still
going upstream at this point?
Yeah, moving upstream. So I literally just was throwing blindly as I'm working my way up pretty fast, you know? And ended up catching this one for my first fish on day one. And it was like a 15 and a half inch small, like a good fish. Anything's a good fish in this tournament, like anything. And you can see the water line there, so they dropped the water. It was low.
On this rocky bank, that's good.
So, anyway, that was the first fish, and I'm sure I hold it up here at the end. But yeah, anyway, that was one. So I had a bonus fish. So now I've caught a bonus fish that I wasn't expecting because I didn't know those fish were there. I didn't peruse that bank on the way down.
15 and a quarter.
Yeah, 15 and a quarter.
There we go.
So that was that fish. And then
that reminds me of that fish you caught at the championship where you figured out your pattern.
Yeah.
Just kind of checking areas real quick on the way to where you're going. And then you're like, oh, crap. There's a fish here.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right. So let's go to another one. Then let's go see if I have this all. Fish number two. So then I get to my school finally. And this is my school. This is where I found them. I mean, I'm real stealthy. I'm like creeping down, you know, being real slow. This is where I'm like, you know, I was coming downstream when I found them. So now I've just kind of like just creeping my way up, trying to like see if they're still there, if I can find them. And then just don't want to spook them, you know? And then finally, see that, like, I'm going to go back. See that surface disturbance right there?
Oh yeah.
This is one of the coolest things ever. I'm going to set this up. This I just cast, right? So this surface disturbance you're about to see, guess what that is? It's going to be like, this is kind of cool.
Like a bait ball maybe?
Nope. You don't even see any bait in this river. I never saw anything. I saw a trout one time, and you see every once in a while I see like a bluegill, but they're like giant in this place. I never saw anything small. I saw some crawfish remains at one point. I never saw the first. Well, I did see some at one point, this little backwater cut. I saw some shad, like gizzard shad. But there's just like nothing up and down this whole river but carp and then the occasional, very rare bass. And anyway, sorry, I got a dog barking here. But this disturbance on the surface is my line where it hits the, where it's meeting the water, my line. It's, you know, your line will
spook the fish.
And well, you've ever had like a bluegill or a bass come and just go and try to attack your line? The school, my line was more in the school than the bait, which was apparently over them when I cast this. And that was smallmouth. I was watching them coming up and hitting my line, trying to eat it. And as I pulled,
should have been throwing a bug lure, dude.
Yeah. You needed that half ounce on the 8-pound test to be able to throw it far enough to not spook these fish. You couldn't get close enough for a bug. You would spook them. There's just, it's so clear and they see you a mile away. But so I launched that gobius with that 8-pound braid, you know, a 7'1", like medium heavy, SX1 sunline. I chunk it, and then that they were hitting that line. But once my bait got into the school, once I saw that, what you got to do is you move your bait faster, get it into that where that line was. And sure enough, got smashed. And then there's some cool videos I have where they start following the, they're hitting my line. So I'm bringing it in quicker now. I'm moving it fast and just kind of shaking it. As soon as I get kind of into where they are, I get bit for the first time. And I'm like, oh yeah, they're here. You know, they're still here. I mean, I knew they were here right then. So, and then you're going to see on some of these videos, there's as many as like 12 smallies that come chasing. Yeah, I said, I don't want to bring the whole school over here, but see, look at them. Look at them all coming. Look at all those smallies, dude. Look at them all coming. Dude, you just got to see this again. Look at all these smallies coming. And mind you, I went 12 miles and hardly saw a smallmouth in this river, but then all of a sudden you just roll over the right spot.
I mean, that's like, do you think that's more a result of it being winter time and them just being schooled up, or do you think that's just how this watershed
Yeah, it's probably more winter time because they're all kind of there together. I mean, I think they probably spread out a little bit more.
It's gonna go 16, guys. I think it's gonna go 16. It's out of my school. Hopefully, there's some more.
Watch it swim away. You can see it for a mile. You can I think it turns around and goes like back to the school. Yeah, and you can just watch it. It's so cool, man. This clear water. It's just, see, there it goes. It's swimming back up to the school. It's
definitely clear.
Definitely clear. All right, let me go and submit the next. The next fish was like,
what was the air temperature?
It got up to like high 60s. Ooh, that's but it, nice. The lows, yeah, not every day is like the same there. It's like 40 degree low and 68, 60. You know, one day in practice, it did get in like low 70s. But so let's see. This is fish number 3. So you can play that next one, I guess.
Yeah, hang on.
Then I caught like another one here. So this is like right after. This is right after I caught that fish and let it go. So I'm moving back up, and you can see there's some smallies on the bank. You'll probably see them that kind of hung around the boat, and they're right in front of me. They swim away. So I know I'm kind of like pulling the school apart a little bit. You know, they're not.
Yeah, dude, I get that gets in my head when I'm doing that stuff, and I'm like, I don't know. I tend to try to back off and just let them sit.
Yep.
You know, get them rest. I don't know. It's hard.
I wanted to go back in and throw immediately because I thought, well, maybe they're also fired up. Like, you know what I mean? So let me first try immediately. Instead of letting them rest, let me try immediately. And if they don't bite, then I'll have to go fish somewhere else and come back. So I'm getting up to like where about they are. And they're smallies swimming away in front of me there. I just saw a couple. I'm looking at them. There they are right in front of my kayak moving to the right. So I know I'm back in the zone, and unfortunately those fish are not where the school is. So I know that's why I threw in front of me to try to like see if I could get one of them to bite. I don't think they do. I think it's back in the school here. But anyway, there was like a mark I had, and you'll see carp, by the way. You'll see in this video, you'll see fish swimming around, and some of them that you see that are really big, they're not smallies. They're carp. But I had like a little small tree on the you can see smallies right there. I mean, I don't know if you can't see my cursor, but you can see them in that sand right there. There's one sitting in the sand on the video. You'll see him right there. But I don't think he's the one that comes and bites. It's one further up, some further up that I can't see. But when you really like have this video and
zoom, you have that Gobius on right now.
Yeah, I'm using the Z-Man Gobius because it's so natural. It looks like a river darter. And so here comes that one. This actually, so what I did with this fish, I actually threw, actually, sorry, this is the only one I didn't catch on the Gobius. I decided to go back in with a different bait first.
Yeah.
I went with a Streaks 3.75 on a Finesse Bullets jig head. So it's real stealthy, right? But I needed to have a little weight on it to get down there. So I throw it back in there. And so you can see other fish are all over it. So there's other smallmouth swimming around there chasing them. And they're just hanging out there. See them on the sand?
It's a good one.
They're, mm-hmm. It's just shallow. It's, you see how calm that bank is? They're just sunning themselves. And there's not water, a lot of water movement from the dam. It's low, like it's about as low as the local said, as low as it ever has gotten. So you can imagine what it sucks when you're thinking, okay, now I got clear water and cold, clear, everything, and low. It's like no current. And they were moving current in practice. They were moving it. So it was like, you know, at least for a couple hours a day, they would rip, current be ripping. So this is like really challenging. There's the one going away in front of you on the sandbar. Might be a carp.
Yeah, I see it. I see a carp. That.
But that was like number two, fish number two.
Yes.
Number three. Number three. That's right. I caught the one from the beginning, that bonus fish.
Then, catch every fish out of is this day one or day two?
This is day one.
How many fish did you catch on day one?
Six. I only got six.
Oh my god.
I only got six and I missed one too. Anyway, that
and those things is those fish, they just like they'll be on and they'll eat like that, and then they're just like, we're done.
All right, guys. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I was scary. It's sketchy.
the old reverse.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to get to the better sunlight. That's what I'm doing. I'm getting better sun so I can get a better picture here real quick before I let it go.
It's pretty fish. They're
beautiful.
Ridiculous looking.
You guys are getting the raw experience here, man. Not
right,
cut
guys,
up.
That's a beaut. 17 inches.
17, dude.
Just let her go.
So
it's a good feeling in a tough tournament like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So that was the number two. And then I caught two more out of there, which was awesome. I was like, dude, if I just get a couple out of this school, then I'll be, you know what I mean, like excited. So the last one I caught out of the school was this one here. I went back to the Gobius. Oh no, sorry. This is
another cookie cutter.
So that was the release for fish number four. Sorry, fish four. That wasn't the fight. I got the fight though. That was the fish. But hang on, I'll get it here. Fish. Oh, here was the. So my GoPro. It's wasn't the GoPro's fault and whatever. But it did. See how it's got this weird stuff right there going on, this weird shadow thing. Glow. What happened was my Nakwa, I didn't have it powered on. My Nakwa battery pack, my battery died on my GoPro, so I plugged the Nakwa in to power it, and I was running it, and it said 0% on the GoPro, but it was still running it. I just clicked it to start it. Anyway, it didn't have enough power to really to write all this, so it kind of it eventually powered off, but it was kind of unfortunate. But I got this fish to bite. It jumped. It's the only fish that jumped the whole time. That was the only jump. But anyway, this was it. This was number four on the day. And then the fifth one I picked up later, which we'll watch that one too. But yeah, there's some smallies following it. So it's more of the same, just right here in the spot on day one. Day two was tougher. I had to kind of grind and catch them on different spots, not the school. I only got one out of the school on day two. And that's when it stopped. And then, of course, you saw me a second ago holding it up. That's when the GoPro stopped, just didn't have enough power. But then the next one was fish number five here. And this is actually the last one out of the school. Sorry. Yeah, because I caught four out of the school and then the one on the riprap bank, right? So this is my last one. So I'm just kind of being real quiet and stealthy here. We're gonna see if I have, and then so yeah, I'm just being real slow, stealthy, throw back in. I got my mark on the bank that where I need to like slow down and start casting for them again. And then the Gobius is back on, they keep hitting it, so I'm like, I'm just gonna keep throwing it because they didn't, you know, they seem to like it the best and it threw the furthest, right? Because streaks is very light, you know, on that little finesse bullet. So I'm just kind of ducking a little bit, trying to be hidden.
Dude, that water looks so cool. It's coming through a little glitchy, but when it clears up, it's like really when you can see the definition, it looks really good.
It's bummer it's not coming through as clear as it could, but that's all right.
It's just buffering a little bit.
Yeah, gotcha. See, oh, all the smaller, look at them all, they're all following them. They all just keep following, like more and more.
They're all following them, dude.
Come on. Oh my gosh, dude.
Number five, come on, stay on.
Yeah, this is five, so it's a big fish to have a limit already. At
10:30, what was the biggest one that you caught during that tournament?
17 3/4 on day two, but it wasn't out of the school. I know there's bigger ones in the school, not like big. There might have been one that would hit like 18, but I saw fish.
Gobius.
Yeah, look at that.
I mean, it's cool to see you catch fish like this, because I mean it's really not that much different than just like the rivers in the Midwest, you know. You find schools of fish in the wintertime, they're all kind of schooled up and they hit finesse stuff. I mean,
yeah,
you know, pretty same concept.
Yep, 17 and a half for that one. A beautiful fish. The I did see, so here's what's funny. Everything in that school was about 16 to 17 and a half, maybe 18. Maybe there was one or two that were 18. But every one of them was that size. And then when I saw a bigger one, they were loners. And I saw some 19, 20 inches easy. And
those are the
real hard ones. They were all loaded. And they were, you could not catch those fish, dude. It was so tough. And so anyway, I don't know.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, and then day two is just more of the same stuff. But the last fish on day one here was there was this cool little cut further upstream. It had like a little backwater. It was like some sort of sand, gravel, dredging, like whatever pit area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you see it down there to pull in or not, but it's down there.
Yeah.
So see how that there's like a little bit of stained water in there, that like sand whatever it's called, dredging, like barge and whatnot. There's like a backwater right there. And so a little bit of, there's like slightly tingy. You can tell it's a little bit dingier there because that water's kind of coming out of it. Up in there, it actually gets a little milky looking color, right? Like there's like a mud line, but it's like milky, not like actually red mud. And I just saw one. I just saw one, a smallie, kind of roll up to that point. And I was just barely shaking that goby. It's just barely moving it on the bottom. And she bit. And I caught a fish here during practice, actually, too, a largemouth in that mud stuff on it.
I thought she saw it.
For it on a jig.
I thought I saw a little bit of a flash. This is probably in the coal.
So I did coal with this.
Half, 16 and three quarters.
I coaled with this fish. So that was kind of cool. Coal one time.
Yeah, super cool.
So yeah, and there's a girl, another a friend here with her.
Friend looks a little bigger.
So you can see it swimming around following it. But this stuff will get, I'm seeing it all to Bassmaster. It'll be a lot clearer for you guys all to watch it on like social. And so there's the other one following it, man. She's
got it choked.
I just boat flipped that one in, like whatever. At this point I had five and felt pretty good about that 8 pound test and that gobius hook. So there we go. That was number six and a little coal. But so then I'll show you the big fish on day two, that 17 and three quarters, the biggest one.
Which was that one of your first fish you caught?
It was the very first one. It's on the second cast on day number two, which I'm stressed. My whole game plan is literally on day two, knowing that only 12 or 11 people caught limits. And I was one of them. I just needed a limit and I was in second place. So I had second highest limit. Right. So I just was like, if I can just catch five, I'm probably going to win this thing. Unless the guy in first gets five, you know, he did have like 4 inches on me. He had like 87, but the first fish of the day, the second, I mean, think how good this must, like I felt, you know, put yourself in my shoes, right? You just need five. And this is a bonus fish that's caught on that same riprap thing. So I'm
first thing in the morning.
Oh, actually, hang on. I'll do you one better. Let me remove this. I've already edited this one too. I can show it a lot better than that. Let me pull up the right file here. There we go. There we go. This is in my folder for Bassmaster. So here we go. 17.75. Very beginning of the day. Why is it not letting me select that? Oh, here we go. Here's why. Got to go to Dropbox.
Dude, how much does that distract you messing with GoPros during a tournament? I feel like I would go insane trying to mess with that. I can't even do it when I'm bone fishing.
It is frustrating, for sure. It's definitely. Man, how do I not? Do I pull up a Dropbox? You might pull up a Dropbox folder and I don't know. I might just have to scrub that clip, you know, that I was doing because I had it. But let me try this. Let me see if it was StreamYard drag, I wonder. It might. Let me just try it.
You're better with StreamYard than I am, so.
Yeah. It may not let me do it. That's okay. I'll just play the clip. This is the raw clip, but I can scrub to the action, you know? We'll just do it this way.
We like the raw clips, dude. That's what we want to be.
We get all the funny stuff. So yeah. So I have to scrub to the end of this whole clip because that's when the fish was caught. Kind of maybe in here. Here we go. Yeah, right here. The second. So this was my first cast. Or no, that's the second cast. So there we go. It's the second cast. Right.
Second cast. Come on, dude, stay on.
That's that same bank that you were catching on day one?
The bank where I caught that fish. And, I was looking as I was driving up and I saw one. So that's when I stopped and was like, all right, let me make some casts in the low light in this area because I saw one. And I didn't scout that bank on. It's the only fish I caught on the right-hand bank, the east bank all tournament, where was this one section right here where there were some fish. So
you're a savage with that Annette, dude.
Yeah, I don't like Annette.
I know.
Freaking. I just get them hooked good when you have braid.
I mean, if you're fishing a gobius, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I could see that, but if you're fishing like, you know, treble hooks or something, I don't know how you do it.
That's why I don't fish with anything, but.
I've seen you land them with whopper ploppers like that. That's
I do.
It's a pretty tense thing.
No, it is. I mean, that's the only thing that pretty much they throw that as treble hooks is like a chopper or something. Anyway, there's that.
That's fish, a healthy one.
17 and three quarters, guys. Literally my second cast. 17 and three quarters. This is unreal.
I think I bring her out of the water again. There we go. Let her go. I brought her back up out of the water and got a
for the wind.
Better still with me just sitting there not saying anything for a still picture. So it looks silly to watch it back. So I don't want to like even. but yeah, that was cool. And then ended up going up and catching. I didn't have my GoPro running. I was getting frustrated for a couple of them, but I got most of them. I'll show you guys the fish number two at the school real quick, and then we'll kind of wrap up. But there you go. Yeah, that's it. Fish two, second day. This one's already trimmed. You want to put it in?
Yeah. Sorry, I got my screen maximized here.
That's right.
I'm trying to watch them. I'm a co-host slash observer here.
Yeah, right. So back to the school, and they would not bite. I started with a TRD crawls. They wouldn't hit that. I tried doing a little split shot rig with a little Streaks 3.75. It could float freely. They wouldn't hit it, man. So I went back and took a break.
Got one.
Tied on the Gobius.
I got one.
I was like,
Do you throw those Goby Z's at all, or just that?
Just
like
the actual
bigger one.
Yeah, just the Gobius that's like already has the built-in weight and hook.
Yeah.
It's all inside of it. So that's the only one I use. I caught my big fish, or one of my big fish. I think it was the biggest one on day one, on 10 killer. See, there they all are. You can see the smallies swimming around. I got one on 10 killer on that, in the clear water on the Illinois River, on that Gobius. So I knew they would hit that in real crystal clear water. And it looks more realistic than any little swim bait that doesn't have all the details and the eyes, like the little goby, you know? So I was like, I'm going to swim that little thing. And I had Z-Man send me some there. I was like, dude, just send me. I had some already, but I wanted to have plenty. I was like, this is what's going to win this tournament. I know it. They'll bite this in clear water. And it looks like a river darter.
There we go.
So,
number two. It's a nice 16-incher.
So anyway.
Wonder what they – what's the main forage out there in that
lake? Think crawfish. There's definitely some shad of different kinds, but they just weren't up there as much. There was, like I said, some gizzard shad around that stand area. But crawfish, maybe – I mean – bluegill. I saw one trout that got lost way down there. So I guess some in the winter do keep coming down if they don't get eaten, because stripers are all over that place. And I didn't even see a striper, but I know other people caught tons of them at this tournament. So let me see if there's a clip, another clip or something. Well, I lost. So this is when I didn't label these all very well. But this is my – I didn't label these good at all. I don't know. I got to bore you guys with me looking around here. But I will say that this is one of the lost fish right here. I have both of them, which you'll see. This is after I caught two more than you guys have already seen, right? And I've got four now. So pulled in. And this is lost fish. And then – so this is the winning – sorry, this is
the last one.
I've actually already lost a fish. I've already lost
one. I definitely like seeing you pick your wedgies.
Yeah, you like that?
That's the best part of those videos.
Oh, man. This is actually the one that's around 2-something, and that tournament ends at 3:30. So I've already lost one after this. I've already lost one fish that I brought all the way pretty much to the boat, which I'll show you that one in a second. So this is the second time. I'm back at the school. I let it rest for like 2.5 hours. Like, I was like, dude, the only shot is to just let this thing rest for a long time. And then come back and just sit there and like just the only bait they'll hit. And then sure enough, actually, yeah, here we go. Here she goes. Boom. She bites. And I'm like, I got one. Heck yeah. Finally, fifth fish.
Oh no. God, no.
It's like freaking A, dude.
No.
So that was frustrating, dude. And then the one before that, the first one I lost, Jake was next to me again. He got to see a lot of action. And he actually ended up getting his camera out and filming this one. He filmed this too, so he's got a little bit from his. So I'm zipping down just talking to him. He's to my right. He's kind of off camera there. and I'm just casting as he's right there, and all of a sudden I get hooked up, and I fight it. You'll see it's like a 17-inch Smalley with another one that was with it, I think, too. And then all of a sudden I lose it, and I knew that was like the winning fish. It's so cool to have him filming it right there and everything. This is early in the day. It's like around noon. I don't care. I'm like
number five if I can get it, dude. It's about 16. All right, look. Oh shoot! Don't jump. Maybe it might be 17. Oh shoot! She came off. No.
Did you spit it?
She just shook her head like that. Spit. I think actually I didn't have my drag tightened as much as I should have from the previous fight when I loosened my drag to fight them.
Oh man.
I think she just spit it. So, anyway.
Kicked off my own podcast.
Yeah, you got kicked off. But yeah, I was just saying, yeah, she just shook her head and just spit it. So, and I don't think my drag was, I didn't tighten my drag back down all the way as enough as I should have from the previous fight when I was like loosening it. And that just, that's me. I mean, maybe it wouldn't, maybe it still would have come off. I don't know. But you can see as soon as I hook her, I knew the drag was loose. I tightened it down a little bit and then put some more pressure on her. I don't think the barb was all the way in, and that was on me. But ended up getting that last fish. Again, I was so frustrated. Didn't even have, like, the let's see, GoPro going. Let's see. But I got it here. Back at that. Here we go. You can add that. It's just, this is just, like, you know, the last one.
It's good feeling. That's the best, dude.
All right, guys. This is the biggest, smallest fish I've ever caught in my life. The
biggest, smallest 14 fish.
14 and a quarter, I believe. Maybe the winning fish. We'll see, but it's five for me.
It was 20 till.
20 minutes left. All right.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah, that's nuts, dude.
That was nuts. Yeah.
Pretty cool. I've had a few of those buzzer beater fish. That's like the anxiety of getting your fifth fish is like, especially when you know you have a chance, a 2-day tournament, when you know you have a chance to win it, that's like, my God, dude. You go through a roller coaster of emotions during tournaments like that. That's crazy.
Yeah, you really
pretty
do.
Pretty cool, dude. The people that push through it and fish until the last. I mean, because a lot of people, honestly, dude, they'll mail it in. You know, maybe not in that circumstance, because I feel like
right.
If you're in second and you have four fish, you knew you only needed one fish. But I have seen guys like quit in the middle of a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, it's a lot to be said, you know, talent and knowledge and all that is one thing, but just like sheer determination in a tournament means a lot. And like keeping your head in the game and not like, you know, sitting back and just mentally checking out, because that does happen a lot. So
you're right, man. It's a grind. I actually like those grinder tournaments. They're stressful, but I like them. Generally do pretty good in them. If you think about it, let's just end on this example here. Like I remember I was on the phone with Jake and I rolled over a school of 15 smallies that were like all 16 to 18 inches. So just imagine if I rolled over those smallies, or you'd come up on them, and you were just fishing that bank and you ran into that school. And I caught four out of that school the first time I fished them, right? The first day that I actually threw in there and caught them, I caught four. So you got to think to yourself, even during tournament day, when it looks like it's all going south and it's not happening, you can run into that school because you ran into it in practice. I had to find that like at some moment, right? On it, you know, so you can find something like that during the tournament day too. So you never give up.
Oh, yeah.
You never give up because you can find a big school of fish and catch four like I did, like that. And then you ride it back in the thick of it. So,
yeah, it doesn't take much, man. I mean, especially in a tournament. I mean, really any tournament, it just – those bites can come fast and furious.
Yeah.
Like you can just be, you know, struggling all day and it's just like boom, 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 boom. It can happen. And then, you know, there's some days where just bites don't come. But, yeah, it's part of it's just staying – keeping your head in the game. Dude, well, I know Chris couldn't make it, but he wanted to extend his congratulations to the GOAT. So
I don't know about that, man. I still call Russ the GOAT, man. He's got more wins for sure.
You're my GOAT, dude. You're my GOAT. So.
Well, thanks, man. He definitely fishes a lot more tournaments than I do, which that you can't take that away from. But I think he's definitely the GOAT. He's like the man, dude. That guy's You can tell.
Oh, Russ is no joke. Russ is a yeah. And but Russ is, you know, he's a River guy too. So it's a cool. I feel like I had a conversation real late at night with Jeff Little one time, and we were talking about just like the gamut of like fishing talent, and he was like, yeah, you know, he's like, lake guys can, or river guys can go into a lake and do well. Like they can figure it out just because of like external factors and how you read water. Lake guys have a hard time going to a river and figuring it out. And I think that is true. I think when you cut your teeth on a river, the way you kind of learn how fish set up, it's very visual and everything's current based. And really lakes are not that much different. It's current in like a different sense, but you know, all the same principles apply just in a different way.
Yeah, so. It's true. Well, yeah, I appreciate you having me there here on the show and kind of getting to tell a little bit of the story. I thought it was perfect for Smalley Talk. And last thing I will say was cool is on the way back on the flight, I was debating whether or not I should bring that trophy and fly it back, or maybe if Frontier was going to try to charge me. I already had my Nakwa like backpack that I freaking love that I was using. And they did not charge me, which was awesome. And then what was even cooler is they announced on the loudspeaker when we landed, they were like, congratulations to Drew Gregory, who won the Bassmaster Kayak Series and beat 110 other anglers. And, you know, it was really cool. And all the, you know, most of the people, we all were sleeping. It was a red eye. We got, after the awards, we had to get packed up and get everything back to Joe McElroy to drive back. And it was chaotic, and then get to Las Vegas in time to make our flight. And we got there in plenty of time, but anyway, everyone's like waking up, you know, and they say that, and it was cool. Like, you know, at least half the plane was still awake to like cheer. They all clapped. It was pretty cool. So But thanks. Shout out to Jake Cook, 'cause he was the one sitting right back, the very last seat in the plane. My buddy, couldn't get seats together. We didn't want to pay for the seats together. We were going to risk it, and it didn't work out, but he ended up back there. And I was talking to the flight attendant back there, and he was asking about, you know, hey, I saw you walk in here with that guy with the trophy. What was that all about? So Jake told him what we were there for, what we were doing, and he was cool enough to hop on at the very end when we landed and say that. So that was pretty cool experience to be able to fly back with a trophy. That's not every day you get to do that. So that was cool.
Pretty sick, dude. So am I going to see you in Columbus then?
I'm only going to be at the Columbus Fishing Expo for Friday. Only Friday, one day.
Okay. Well, I'll be there. So we're launching our bait there. I'm gonna have a few special ones, and I might get some color requests for you. I might do some custom colors for you. But yeah, looking forward to seeing a lot of wet boys there. We're gonna see tons of Achigan gear dropping our bait. So I'm looking forward to that. We are going to be, I'm leaving tomorrow to go to the East Tennessee Expo. So we got some people around the East Tennessee area. We're going to be there Thursday through Sunday.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm just here pouring baits, dude, trying to get enough for all the guys. So
you're doing it, man. We'll see. That's awesome. That bait looks really, really good. I know some guys are going to be, I see Ryan Parker in the chat. I think Vantine, people that I think are going to be fishing the Kayak Adventure Series, and Steve Baker there. So they're all going to be on that bait, I'm sure, catching some river smallies at all the different events. You know that? Oh, there we go.
Check that. That's the micro.
The micro. Nice.
That's the micro. Good. And then that check this good. Out. Macro? That's the 8-inch.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Mondo. I think we're going to call this Mondo. The Mondo Munchie. The Mondo Munchie, the micro Munchie.
It's perfect.
And then original. So
yeah, I love it, dude. We'll see you guys out there. Any of you guys in the Kayak Adventure Series, don't forget, check our schedule out, kayakadventureseries.com. We got 7 events, got some incredible smallmouth events, including the Achigan Mississippi Bronze Quest, which that's exciting.
I will be Chris and I will be there. We're fishing as a team.
Yeah.
So Chris took the whole week off. Call me this weekend. So we're fishing as a team Wet Boy. And we've been there before, and I know exactly my approach of that place. So if you haven't experienced it and you haven't listened to us talk about it on the podcast, it has the potential to make the Susquehanna look like child's play. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. So we'll see you guys out at the Kayak Adventure Series, and I'll leave you with this. I forgot to hold it up. That's the one, guys.
That looks good.
It looks real good.
For sure. All right, give us a free fighter, yeah. Drew. Sign us off, go.
Free the fighter. Thanks, guys. See ya. Smiley talk.
Oh, me, oh, my. Look at that fish.